Hello and welcome to our podcast, Treating Cancer the 3E Way. In this podcast, Lothar Hirneiser and myself, Klaus Pertl from the 3E Center in Germany, are looking at cancer and especially cancer in the 21st century. So we're looking at cancer in a very different perspective. Today, our focus is after so many years of fighting cancer, and it's been going on for more than 100 years now, the numbers are not improving. Somehow, some things are not working. So today we're going to look at what are those standard therapies at the moment, at least, not addressing. So welcome back, Lothar.
Hi, welcome back, Klaus.
So what is your view? The numbers are actually going up. If we would look at the mortality rates from cancer, and I have some numbers here in the USA, per death per 100,000, it was in 1967, it was 157, and today it is roughly at 220. So there's a huge increase in mortality from cancer. So somehow numbers are not getting better. What is your view and obviously your experience after 20 years in this industry?
Well, I think there are many points, but let's maybe go to the main point. The main problem is that they think, with they, I mean the conventional oncology, they think they know what cancer is. For them, it's just a change of the DNA of our genes. We have to destroy the cells and that's it. What they don't understand, and I really can't understand this, because there are so many studies out since, I don't know, 40, 50 years already. Already in the 70s, we know a lot of these points I'm talking about now. We know that long time, and this is a very important point here, long time before there are DNA changes in cancer cells, there are, for example, changes in the mitochondria. There are changes in the cell membrane. And this is nothing new I'm telling here. This is, old studies, 30, 40 years ago. And since the 70s, we have many, many more studies came up with exactly this point. So I still can't understand why the conventional people are still thinking there is only one reason, and this is just a DNA change. Even we know that there are many, many other reasons, yes.
I think there's a big interesting contradiction going on here in the world. Every doctor would probably accept that there are causes for literally almost every illness. And the causes very often come back to lifestyle choices, especially with the chronic illnesses. Somebody has diabetes, is overweight, arthritis, and so on. We can always assume there's a small percentage where maybe there is something in the structure of the body not working, and we can accept that. But we're talking at least 70, 80, 90% of cases, it's lifestyle. And I think a lot of medical professional people would accept that, but not with cancer, strangely enough. They're still fighting that one. And although now the World Health Organization, I believe, has put out interesting statistics. And from this, we can pinpoint roughly that 30% has to do with diet. I think another 30% has to do with toxins in environment, including obviously things like cigarettes and alcohol. And then also more and more people accept lifestyle choices, you know, how stressful the lifestyle is. And suddenly you're 90% of the causes of cancer. But somehow we're not addressing that. Do you think that's the issue, that the way to solve cancer is to never get it in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely. You're 100% right. I think it's two things here. The first is for sure poisons. We can't say that, there are two main things, poison and stress. But the first thing, poison, yeah, we have more poison in our environment, in our water, in our air, and especially in our food. So, we can't go back here. And this is the situation we have to take care about. And the second one is stress. With stress, here we have to be careful when we say people are having more stress. I don't believe this, really. Go back 100, 200 years ago. Come on, people, they had quite more stress than today. And if you go 500 or 1,000 years back, they had 10 times more stress than today. So it's not that our generation or even the generation before, that they had more stress, but the way how you feel the stress, I think that changed a lot in the last, let me say, 20, 30, 40 years. And that's a big difference. And so it's right if people are saying people are having more stress, but it's not because they have it from that point, like I mentioned before. It is because they feel more stress. And that's the two main points here. People are having more stress and they have more poisons. And both are creating cancer cells.
Yeah, so really to get the, to improve the numbers, the number of cancer incidents and the number of cancer mortality, we would have to look, or people who are really interested in their health and their well-being, they have to look at those two issues. They have to look at the poison toxins in the environment, and we have to also look at our stress level in within ourselves, with our lifestyle, basically.
But there's one more point, Klaus, I want to mention here. It's not only that we are having every year more and more cancer patients. Of course, think about what kind of diagnostic we have today. It's a normal thing that we also touch through that we have more and more cases. It's another thing, think about this ductal carcinoma in situ, which is not really cancer, but they just count it to the group of breast cancer. So at all, we have more cancer because we have a better diagnostic. But this is only one thing. The other thing is, when you look to all the statistics in the last 50 years, and here I have to say statistics, you know, do you know that most countries, they don't have really good statistics? Even Germany, you know, we are very famous that we are a very structured country, and that the Germans are very structured. But do you know that it's only a few years that we really have good cancer statistics? So when they always mention this old statistic from, I don't know, 50 or 100 years, I always ask them, from where do you get these statistics? You know, I don't know them because there are no statistics. Anyway, when you look to the last, let me say, 20, 30 years, where in some countries we have some, let me say, not that bad cancer statistics, there's one really important point here. And the point is we have more cancer patients. In a percentage, they dying like 34 years ago. For example, we have, let me say, some years ago, we had 10,000 cancer patients in a county, and now we have 20,000 there. But before died 5,000, and now are dying 10,000. So there is no changing in the quality of the cancer treatment. And I think this is even more important than anything else. So what we see is we have more cancer patients, and all the treatments they are using are not, let me say that way, not very effective.
Yeah, I think that was for me also, when I looked at the history of cancer, a surprising reality. The first breast operation, a mastectomy, was done, I think, in the US at the 1870s or something, 1870, it might be even a bit earlier. And so basically we can say now breast operation, mastectomies the oncology have been doing this for 150 years. Then we go to radiation that started 1901, I believe the first type of tests were done with cancer patients. So this is about 120 years old. It's the same thing, more or less. And chemotherapy was started in 1946. So this is going on for more than 70 years. So we have those three major, and there's still probably 70, 60, 80% of treatments, or maybe 90% even, are those three therapies. They've been going on for maybe a mixed number of 100 years, and still numbers go up. So when I heard that, if you would go to a different industry, car industry, IT industry, they would kind of like laugh at you and think, what are you doing? I mean, it's the same thing, and the number's not getting better. I think something is not working.
Think about, you even don't have to go to the IT companies or just stay in the medicine and you go to another faculty. And for example, emergency. When you look what progress they made just in the last 20, 30 years, you know, 30 years ago when you had a car accident and you were on the street, you know, the chance to die when then the doctor comes to the street, you know, was, I don't know, 10 times higher maybe than today. So they really made a big progress and they changed it. And also in some other things, they really changed it here in medicine, but in oncology, no, there's absolutely nothing where we can say they made a progress. Even when you look at the last statistics we made in Germany, do you know that the chance to die on breast cancer is, there's a statistic started in 81 until 86, and another one started in 97 until 2002. And the chance from 97 to 2002 was around 20% higher to die on breast cancer than from 81 to 86. So this is what they call a progress. So at COE, they go back and not forward with it. Yeah.
So we all have to accept that there is a very odd reality happening here. And obviously, if you're not being aware of it and not looking into the numbers, you're probably never aware of it and you just don't know it. But I think, again, the solution for this unfortunate reality that the number's not getting better is that something is not working, and it means we need to take again more charge ourselves. So in just letting others decide what we should do is probably not the best anymore. But I know that a lot of people want that, but I'm also realizing that is not the solution for the big picture. It is more understanding the issue, understanding what is not working, understanding what is working and when it's working. And I believe, Lothar, the numbers are very good numbers, if I believe it correctly. It's for 1.82% of cancer cases where I believe chemotherapy is a very, very effective rate or success rate. And that they only make about 1 or 2% of cancer treatments. I think it's the testicular cancer and some kind of leukemia and some kind of leukemia for children. In those situations, they're very, very successful. But the big ones, it's not improving. So again, yeah, we need to really educate ourselves and being so much more critical about treatment choices.
Absolutely. Let me give you another number, which is really strange here. In Germany, we will have around 55 to 65, depends on which statistic you're believing, of new breast cancer cases per year. So this year we will have, let me say, around 60,000. And now here comes the point. The conventional doctors, they think they all have the same illnesses. So at the end, what they're doing, they're treating the illness breast cancer. And they do it not only around the world, especially in Germany, but they do it in special breast cancer studies and breast cancer hospitals. And so they think, because that they have the experts there, that they can treat it better. But what are the experts really doing? Let's have a look on that, you know. If a woman comes with breast cancer to one of these expert places in the hospitals, mainly at universities, they go for a standard protocol. Because for them, you know, she has the same illness like the other one who came an hour before or an hour later. So for them, they all have breast cancer, and that's it. But come on, what they should do is they should treat Miss Miller and Miss Smith in a different way. They should check why does this lady got cancer. And this is what they're not doing. Do you know that at the average, a doctor is speaking around 7 minutes and 30 seconds in Germany with the cancer patients? How can you find out who is sitting on the other side of the table in 7 minutes? We know how long it takes, Lois, to talk to cancer patients. 7 minutes is nothing. is absolutely nothing. In these 7 minutes, they're not only asking about the history of the lady. They already in these 7 minutes includes already to explain what the doctor will do, explains the treatments, explains everything. This is everything in 7 minutes. And this is how the system is working. And we can't, I think, blaming here all the doctors. I know there are good conventional doctors there, but the system is terrible. And as long as the health insurance companies are not paying doctors for talking to patients, and I think not only cancer patients, to patients at all, I think nothing will change. Because how can you do it in 7 minutes? It's impossible, Klaus.
We can't probably change the system at the moment. The system is what it is. But what we can change is that everybody who is affected by cancer and friends and relatives, that we become a little bit more critical and that we ask a little bit more questions and that we understand it's not just happening. There are causes for cancer and that we give that question also a bigger chance and take time to finding out the causes. And yes, maybe one of the reasons that we are having an increase in the number of cancer cases is maybe an environment, you know, and the lifestyle we're living as we have with more chronic stress and more work pressure. And at the same time, you know, all the pesticides and fungicides and whatever's out there is increasing. So yes, that combination is there. But at the moment, if somebody is affected by cancer, then I think the solution is take self-responsibility, find out what you can do about it and not just follow blindly what's happening, because following blindly, and that means just not looking critically at what is happening at the moment, is ignoring reality. And reality is the numbers are going in the wrong direction.
Absolutely. And like you said, unfortunately, you know, we have election next Sunday in Germany, and nothing will change here. There's nothing which will change. And it goes even worse. Look to America, you know, and look to other places. Look, for example, I have been, I don't know, more than 10 times or even 15 times in China in my life. And come on, we all know that traditional Chinese medicine comes from China. But when you go today to China and you see how they treat cancer patients, it's chemotherapy. And We didn't speak about it, and we also should not do this now here, Klaus, but we all know that money plays a terrible part here in all these things. And this is the situation. We can't change it. And like you said, each patient has to do it by himself, you know. If the patient is not taking care, he gives it to somebody else. So he must trust the doctor. But what he should do, he should trust himself and then in a second with the doctor. But as long as he give everything to the doctor, we know our experiences, it will not work.
And to finish off this podcast today, I think a key helping point is what we said in the last podcast, Lothar, is that we need to focus on the source of cancer. And that's an individual question, because every life is different. And therefore, there is a big, big step we can do to improve the numbers by understanding what's causing it and stopping the cause of cancer. And at the same time, obviously, doing the good things that we know, eating well, sleeping well, you know, everything else a general doctor would say to you as well. If you go to a general practitioner and you want to know how to stay healthy, they will tell you, you know, eat well, sleep well, exercise, and these are the general three good advices. And I think they are good advices. In cancer, strangely enough, they are a little bit ignored. So thank you very much, Lothar, for today. And I'm thanking the listener today for taking time and listening again. And next time we have another interesting podcast. We're going to look at is destroying or fighting cancer cell really working? And what are other options that are quite interesting? So that's going to be a very interesting one. So thank you very much for listening. Goodbye for me.
And goodbye from my side. Bye-bye.